As we prepare? As we prepare for the skies to... I'm going to edit that for the podcast. As we prepare for the skies to explode with fireworks this weekend, we have a real firecracker of a realtor in studio. Joan Ball from Royal LePage Tryland on Ask the Experts. I'm Scott Simpson. Hey, Joan.
Hi, how you doing?
Groovy, how are you?
I'm doing swell.
You sold all your houses.
I did, yeah.
That's kind of weird.
It's like there are very few times in my career have I been listless.
Listless? And, you've never, all the adjectives I would use to describe you, listless is not.
No, I know. It doesn't suit me.
So what does a realtor do when you sold all your houses?
Well, but you have to remember, we don't just work with sellers. No, we also work with buyers. Okay. So I haven't lost all my buyers. I'm still trying to find some buyers, some properties, and we're in the process of doing that. Market has adjusted a bit, and I do have listings coming up, obviously. We're just getting them ready right now. But it's really kind of an interesting feeling. Yeah.
Well, do you get to sleep in?
Oh, no, not at all. No. And sometimes the buyer energy in this kind of a market can be more exhausting. You know, it's really a matter of having to be on key. I've got a client coming in this weekend and I'm showing them 11 houses on the first day and probably another 8 on the second day.
That's a really busy day.
It is. It's a marathon go, you know, and I'm tend to be the taskmaster. So, okay, we got to leave this one to get to the next one on time, because when you're scheduling 11, you have to be very accurate on your timing.
Yeah.
And then we can always go back and visit the ones that really are of some significant interest.
So to give people insight into what actually goes on, what happens when you go out with a buyer for an 11 house day? Like, is it a full tour through everything, or do you pull them as soon as they say, I'm not so sure?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if they go, no, this isn't going to work, then why spend the time?
Sure.
However, there may be things with that property that they like that will inform me. I have never met these buyers. They're coming in from out of town.
Oh.
So I've communicated with them back and forth via email and on the phone. But really, for the most part, I don't know what they want other than what they've told me. And when you get together with somebody, it's amazing how you can get a read from them on how accurate their assessment has been of what they're looking for. Because quite often, they don't even realize what it is that turns them off or turns them on. In some cases, I mean, they know the basics, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, perhaps within a certain geographic area. But for example, this couple have indicated some very specific location details. And there's a few of them that don't work within that, or that have a pool and they don't want a pool. And there's, you know, some of those that I've had to adjust and pull out or put other ones in and that kind of thing.
This is like six-figure speed dating.
Oh, yeah. It does tend to be that. And, you know, you do have to start out early. So on Sunday, I'm starting out relatively early. I'm going to meet with them at about 10:30. And then we'll do an initial conversation. And then I usually have a package for them and a package so that I can brief them on properties as we're going through. And generally, people will take about 15 to 20 minutes to go through a property. If they take longer than that, then, you know, there's usually some indication that there's something they like about it or some features that they like about it. And that really helps me.
Is this the first house?
They've sold their house where they're coming from. And so they have about 60 days to land in something else closed.
So they have some experience in purchasing a house before and living in a
house. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You told me something just before we went on the air that, what a coincidence. Hmm. Today, the busiest closing day of the year.
Mm-hmm. It is. For real estate, the lawyers are absolute. Don't think you're going to call a real estate lawyer today and get them, because they will be so busy today. And it really is a day that a lot of lawyers will say, if you can avoid this day for closing date, do it, because it's just crazy. The movers are crazy. Movers, in many cases, will have to hire extra staff, maybe even charge a little bit more because of today, and they'll be moving and shaking and going crazy. And so they would have had shifts that start very, very early. But June 30th, or the last business day of June, is the busiest real estate closing day of the year.
How do, what factors
because
are
schools
coming?
Are schools done?
Yes.
Schools out. Often people want to be in their new house for the summer. The first 2 weeks of July are typically holiday days, so they want to take that time to set up their house, maybe even do the actual move, you know, get the kids registered for a new school. They may be having some of that time away, so they want to be able to accommodate that. But quite often it falls in line with the school year and all of that.
Well, I can remember when I bought my house in London 3 years ago. I think it was on this date, or maybe Canada Day 3 years ago. So, hey, I'm one of the stats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you couldn't have closed on Canada Day, because you have to have, it cannot be a holiday. It has to be a Monday to Friday, not a weekend, and not a holiday.
Well, during the break, I'll go into my Google Photos archive and see if I can nail it down. Not to say you're wrong. I misremembered. How about that?
No, I'm not. Just for people to know, quite often people say, oh, I'd like to close Saturday such and such. And the registry office needs to be open to apply the new owners to title and get everything closed.
My first house, we closed on December 31st.
Oh, yes. Well,
boy, that was... Yeah. That was a bad idea, because all the lawyers were like, yeah, we're going to take the second half of the day off because it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. Where are my keys? Yeah. But we closed. But I need it in my house. Sorry, man. We're lawyers. Love lawyers. Lawyers are great. 519-643-1290. If you have a question for celebrity. No, you know, I'm not going to call you celebrity.
No.
Famous. No. Famous realtor Joan Ball from Royal LePage Tri-Land, online at joanball.com. Send in your questions, 519-643-1290 or text 101290. Standard rates apply. We will get your questions and calls for Joan Ball in just a minute on Ask the Experts.
This is Ask the Experts, a special advertising feature of News Talk 1290, CJBK.
Twelve 41 on Friday, June 30th, the busiest closing day of the year for real estate. You know how we know this? Because Joan Ball's here from Royal LePage Tri-Land Realty on Ask the Experts. You have a question about real estate, buying, selling, flipping and dipping? Do people still flip houses, Joan Ball?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Because I used to watch those shows that flip this house, flip that house, house flipping, house flippers, that house done been flipped, all of them. Do people still do that?
They do. Yes, they do. And, you know, really, quite honestly, London's affordability for quite some time was so, you know, we're so affordable. So this was not something that was was a lucrative income.
You weren't going to buy low, sell higher once you renovate.
Not necessarily. No. But this past year, certainly any of the flippers are just licking their lips. You know, they've had a great, great year. I will say that I have met more who are moving to the Oakville area, GTA area, because of the potential there to be able to get in return on investment. One in particular that I know of was purchased for $750 in the Beaches in Toronto and listed for $1.2 million. Now on the market for $2.4 million. Yeah.
If your timing was right, you could make a jackpot. If your timing's wrong,
exactly. Yeah.
The stakes are so high.
Yes, and speculators. I mean, speculators were great in the late 80s, early 90s, and then, you know, a lot of them lost their shirts.
Now you got a bunch of shirtless speculators running around trying to become lick-lipping house flippers.
Yes, that's right.
519-643-1290 if you have a question for Joan Ball, or text 101290. Frank has a question. Frank says, I've heard that a home inspector is not necessarily licensed. So I'm wondering about having professionals from each different area check out the property. Would you recommend this, Joan? Example, HVAC specialist, electrician, insulation guy, engineer. Wow, I think if you have like a cadre of pros like that, bring them if you can.
Well, the whole idea is that hopefully the home inspector that you are able to secure has some experience in each of those areas.
Yeah.
To hire specialists in each of those areas is going to be very costly. And not just that, the seller is only going to give you a window of time to allow for that inspection. And to coordinate all those professionals at the same time is going to be a nightmare. So really, there is no licensing at the present time. We're hoping that there will be at some near future. However, pick a home inspector that's registered with an accredited organization, Home Inspection Association, because they have to have a minimum of so many hours of supervised training and that kind of thing. Years ago, I had one chap that was very, very good, and he was a licensed electrician. He had his gas fitter's ticket. He had spent quite a bit of time in construction. So he really had a well-rounded level of knowledge. And just make sure that they're accredited with or registered with an association and that they're insured. Not all home inspectors need to be insured. And if they don't find something, which, you know, they're human, they may not, then you would have recourse if they're insured.
Yes, because I know when I got my home inspection done, there was written in black and white in the contract, the absolute maximum liability for this home inspector, if they missed something or got something wrong, was the price you paid for the home inspection. That's all you could get out of them.
Really?
Now, I don't know if that would stand up in court, but...
Wow.
Yeah, but you know home inspectors personally, right? Like if somebody's dealing with you, Joan Ball, you know people who do a good job.
And some of the home inspectors are very, very thorough, and some even... more so than you would think would be reasonable. But you just need to make sure that out of the gate, you have someone who's got the qualifications.
Now, I think people may have had their opinions about home inspectors amplified by watching Mike Holmes and his Holmes Inspection show. But I think he even acknowledges that what he does on his show, home inspectors can't do. Like, they're not allowed to walk up to a wall, punch a hole through it, grab something, pull it out and say, look, this is brown insulation. You need it orange.
Yeah. And not just that. You have to remember that as much as I really do admire and appreciate Mike Holmes, you know, it's TV.
Yeah.
So the drama aspect is really sort of a necessary component. But there's no question I have my library of visuals, photographs, and all that sort of thing of some surprises that we did not expect to find.
With all the experience you have, Joan Ball, granted, okay, I'm not going to assume that you could rewire a 110, 220 electrical panel. I'm not going to assume that you could, you know, look at a roof truss and say, well, that's the wrong angle. But you've seen enough stuff go well and enough stuff go wrong that you could go into somebody's basement and go... I don't think you want this house.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. I've talked many people out of properties, but I do at the same time say I'm not a qualified whatever, you know, electrician or HVAC specialist or whatever. But, you know, I have certainly indicated some issues to people and said this, in my opinion, might be a deal breaker. You know, this would be a walk away. This would be something that, you know, here's the impact of this if it is what I think it is. And, you know, best we check it out if you still have interest in this house.
Is it possible you see things home inspectors might not?
I don't,
like when you go through a walkthrough and you see a bunch of boxes suspiciously piled in a part of the basement, the home inspector would probably walk by and go, I'm not allowed to move boxes. But Joan might say, last house I saw that had boxes in a place like that.
I have done that where we're going to go in and do a home inspection, and I will indicate to the agent, please advise the seller to have those boxes removed from the wall there or in certain areas. So certainly we've done that.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Advocating for your people. Mm-hmm. 519-643-1290 if you have a question for Joan Ball. Or if after she's not here, you want to get in touch. JoanBall.com is the place. JoanBall.com, where when she gets some more properties to sell, she will have them.
Which will happen.
It will happen inevitably. I mean, it's your bread and butter.
Yeah.
Jason has a question. Is there a centralized system to check and see if there have ever been any water in the basement of a particular house? Oh, I love this question. Will my insurance agent be able to tell me?
Oh. You know, your insurance agent may not be able to because of the Privacy Policy Act. And yet, what I have found is neighbors may be the best course of actuality. Obviously, the first point of questioning is to ask the listing agent to please inquire from the seller if they have had any water in the basement. What people often don't realize is that damage that water can create is quite significant. And if there has been water in the basement, it's called a latent defect. It may be a latent defect. So that means that it may impact on the peace and enjoyment of a future owner. So therefore, if you're listing on the MLS system, the onus is on the seller and the listing agent to disclose that information. If it's found that they did and they did not disclose it, then obviously there's going to be legal ramifications. But quite often, and London hasn't got a lot of restoration foundation companies, and it has enough, but you know, I've certainly asked some questions and made some calls and found information that was very helpful from time to time as far as basements and what happened. And, you know, just sort of talking to a few neighbors. Oh, yeah, I remember Best Plumbing being over there about 7 times last year. It was quite an issue. And, you know, that's all you need. You just need reasonable information to be able to then access and create some questions and potentially compensation.
Now, we're polite Canadians, mm-hmm. many of us, mm-hmm. and we might feel it's rude to go asking the neighbors about a property. How do we get over that?
Well, if you've taken over a home and all of a sudden you have water in the basement and you've got some significant damage to belongings and the finishings in that basement, you know what? Sorry, but that's cost you. You should have some recourse.
Well, you should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when do you ask the neighbors? Before you buy the house?
Well, I would certainly want, prevention is always the best measure. So you certainly want to make all the inquiries prior to purchasing the house, prior to closing on the house. And therefore, you know what you're up against.
Yeah.
I've had sellers, and I'll tell them, you know, anybody can deal with anything if they know what they're up against.
Yeah.
And if you tell, for example, I had a house many years ago that had some structural issues in the foundation. They had engineers in. They remedied it. We had all the documentation. We disclosed it. It was non-issue. And that is the best way of going about it. If you've disclosed it and the buyer still is open and willing to take it over, then that's fine. But just disclose it. That's all you have to do.
Because it's tricky. If you don't find out before you buy the thing, mm-hmm. then it's up to you. I know you said it's on the onus of the onus is on the seller to mm-hmm. disclose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but good luck proving that they knew about it after you buy that.
Well, and that's why sometimes you'll get information from the most unlikely sources.
Well, I know in my case, after I got water in my basement, I asked mm-hmm. my neighbor, and they're like, oh, yeah, when I drained my pool a few years ago, Jack comes upstairs ranting and raving about his basement's flooding. Well, why didn't somebody tell me that before I bought the house?
Right, right. So did you ask your insurance company? Did your insurance company flag it when you were looking at purchasing the property? Did you have an insurance clause in your offer?
3 years ago, Joan, I have no idea. spending all the money to fix the darn basement cleared out my memory banks.
Mm-hmm. So when the insurance condition is in an offer and then you contact your insurance company and they look at the address, they will determine your policy or mm-hmm. your premium. And so at that time, if your premium is higher than you would normally think, then you know that something had happened. Either, you know, there might have been a break-in, there might have been a, you know, flood and that kind of thing. So your premium would give you some indication of that. Now, whether an insurance agent can disclose the particulars yeah. before you own the house, I can't answer that.
Oh, I didn't know an insurance company would know that.
Yes.
I'm allowed to ask them anything, but I guess they're not obliged to tell me specifically.
Right.
Why are you quoting me such a high thing? I can't tell you, but it's a kind of a soggy situation. 12:54, we'll be back with more of Joan Ball on Ask the Experts. It's exciting. It's terrifying. It's rewarding. It's potentially can devastate you if you do it wrong. It's real estate, and you need a professional who knows the ins and outs of the business, who knows all the little things to watch out for. Joan Ball is such a professional. JoanBall.com. I'm talking about you like you're not even here, Joan.
I'm here.
Okay. Joan is really busy, even though she has no properties to sell right now. She's working with buyers. If you have a property you want to sell, call Joan. If you want to buy a property, call Joan. Joan knows everything about the city.
I don't know about everything. But
I'm just building you up high.
Yeah.
You want to do one more question?
Sure.
Jeremy would like to know. I was by the house I've purchased last night. Stalker. I don't move in till August. However, they were having a huge party. How can I verify the house is in the same condition as when I put my offer and no damage has been done?
You know, it's funny because as soon as somebody purchases a house, they just can't wait to get in there. And so they drive by the house repeatedly. It's really quite cute. And this is one that can happen all the time. So, Jeremy, I certainly hope you put a final walkthrough mm-hmm. in your offer so you can walk through the property, say, the day before or the day you know, probably the day before closing or a couple of days before closing and just check things out and make sure it's in the condition that you purchased it. We have had properties where there was damage and therefore there was an estimate done on how much it would cost to repair the damage. Or say, for example, sellers moved out, they're gone from the city. You know, and there's garbage left in the basement or
yes,
whatever.
So sending money to have somebody take
yeah,
away.
Yeah, so what we have to do is the lawyers will sort this out generally, or the seller of the property will come back and remedy it to the buyer's satisfaction. And
or
so,
else.
So, you know, I mean, that is the reality, is that you're quite often putting in your offer and getting your offer accepted and firmed up months before you actually take the keys.
All right, Joan Ball, make sure you get that final walkthrough. I heard that about you in your Real Estate Matters feature this week.
Right, good.
All right, you can find Joan at joanball.com, Royal LePage Tri-Line Realty, and the podcast will be online. Join us next time in 2 weeks with more of you on Ask the Experts.
London's leader for compelling conversation. News Talk 1290, CJBK.